Call to order, regular board meeting, November 21st, 2018. Need a roll call of who's here?
President Pecatich?
Here.
Director Graff?
Here.
Director Clark?
Here.
Director Merchant?
Here.
Director Passett?
Here.
Item two, adoption of the agenda. Can I get a motion?
Second.
Hey.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, we're going to move to closed session. Item three.
Seems 5 o'clock, yeah?
Welcome back. Resuming with our agenda. Item four, open session. And reporting action from closed session. There's nothing to report. Which closes item four. Item five, employee announcements, promotions, commendations, and kudos. Nothing, but I know that we'll have some announcements under item 14, GM evaluation here and later in our meeting, so we'll hold some of those things until then. Under item six, the consent calendar. Can I get a motion to approve the consent calendar?
So moved.
Just checking on any comments.
Second? Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, and Les is checking his comments here real quick. Discussion? Les?
Hang on, sorry. Any
comments on any of them?
No, I can hold those. Those are fine.
Good? Sure?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So moved and seconded. Roll call vote.
President Pecatich?
Yes.
Director Graff?
Yes.
Director Clark?
Yes.
Director Merchant?
Yes.
Excuse me, Director Passett?
Yes.
Great. Item seven, staff report. On 7A, GM's report. Anything there?
Just on the security portion, there's one comment about Chief Werberlin is now organizing the comments by area of responsibility, RMA versus non-RMA, and I'm presuming that'll come to the security committee prior to, or?
Okay. Correct.
All right. And then?
I got something on that one, too, to kind of talk with you.
Forward. Oh, and then just the, on the last sentence, just a suggestion that the 1998 Measure J language and history be shared with the other relevant parties that may be interested in it.
Did anybody find any wiggle room in that?
Do you want to let everybody know what Measure J is?
Les? Very general.
Pardon? Do you want to let people know?
Oh, I'm sorry. Measure J, and Measure K were special tax measures that were 1998 ballot. Measure J was the security, the definition of the security services that would be provided under that vote. Under that special tax. And so we finally found that document and during this heightened focus on joint security meetings that we want to make sure that everyone understands what was voted in.
Right. So ultimately it's the groundwork for how much we can collect in security fees, the structure in which they can be sent. Is that kind of in layman's terms?
Yeah, basically, a general outline of the services that were voted to be provided by security, and then setting a base tax, and then setting the 2% per annual increase, max increase.
Right.
Did that measure also allocate the funding to the various areas? Not the funding to the various areas, the charges to the various areas?
No, it did not.
So my question is, well, then how did that get set up?
Yeah. It was very loose.
So versus diving into it tonight, though,
yeah.
I mean, the main important thing, if I'm understanding less, is your suggestion is that gets shared with the appropriate entities and stakeholders that have been part of this discussion. Because one of the things, and I'll zero in on this, at the tail end of your report here, you talk about meet with RMA to discuss RMA-specific comment and prepare response to those issues. So as part of meeting with them, let's make sure that we get copies of that to them so they understand what we can and can't do. Absolutely. By
right.
Law. And then For non-Amrayish's district, we'll formulate a response. I will share that Les and I had a pretty spirited discussion in security meeting about, you know, the collaboration between the two entities and making sure that, you know, whatever policies get set, kind of moving ahead around this, you know, and getting these joint security committee meetings forward in January, I think it's important that the district take the primary role in that and making sure that when we're, you know, coming together as a group and kind of coming up with the things that we need to do as a community, whether it's inside the gates or outside the gates, it has to do with speed or crime, vandalism, whatever it is. And as the community is growing, I think that most of the residents look to CSD that's in charge of security to be on lead for that versus, you know, a homeowners association that's just one of other stakeholders involved in this process. So I really appreciate what RMA is doing to try and do the things around speed, you know, the trailers and some of the other things that they're looking to get. That sounds great, you know, because it does address some of the issues. I think that the ticketing and some of the other things that have gone inside the community have had an impact. But ultimately, I look at Chief Werblin and say, this is your responsibility, right, to try and make sure that all this kind of comes to a head underneath the guise of security and us being responsible for it. So that's what I hope.
And then as long as we try to inform the community as a whole and all the stakeholders of the, you know, the original basis for the security special tax.
Right.
And so that then that we're operating within those confines.
Yeah. And part of it's the confines, as Les says, of what the CSD can do. But ultimately, and I'll echo what Stephanie on the RMA board said, was, you know, a plan. You know, a comprehensive plan. I really liked what she said about that. That's what this community needs, I feel, is a comprehensive plan with everybody's heads in this. And just because it's things that we've done in the past and those this and that, you know, we got to kind of look at it objectively and say what makes most sense for the interests of the community at large. And that's what I'm hoping we get to with everybody's support.
Okay. Those were my only comments on that. Yeah. GM report.
Anything else on the GM report?
One thing, if I could draw attention to the Mountain County's Water Resource Agency Symposium. So, you know, this was a symposium, probably had about 200 people involved, and representatives from Bureau of Reclamation, the Delta Water Master was there, and then the head of the state water contractors. And so something that I mentioned in the general manager's report is it just became really clear that there's a lot of financial interests in the water fix and Bay Delta plan. So sometimes when that happens, that becomes a larger force than the science behind it, the logic behind it. So we just need to be very careful as we proceed. And so the Cosunas is going to be the phase two of the Bay Delta plan. And we'll definitely have our eyes on that to see what type of restrictions may occur or might be recommended to accomplish water quality levels within the Delta itself. Met this just yesterday, as a matter of fact, with the head of the Water Forum. And one of the other areas that he recommended that we keep an eye on is Amador County being upstream of us. Mm-hmm. And if there's any other demands of the water source down the Cosunas to this area to be, you know, keep that on our radar, essentially. And so we'll definitely be watching that.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think it's an area of prime importance that the district should stay on top of. So appreciate your efforts there.
Okay. 7B, administration financial report. Anything there?
Oh, I just had a question on the aging report. You know, the last sentence of the total delinquent amount, $98,861, was related to undeveloped property. Are those delinquents turned over to the county assessor at the end of the year like the others are?
Yes, they are.
Okay, thank you.
And at the following year.
And the following year, yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the only question I had.
Cool. 7C, security.
Just a comment following up on my comments last meeting on the RMA rule violations and citations. Can the CSD continue its efforts to obtain information on the final disposition of those citations that are issued by CSD from RMA?
Do you want to handle that? We did have a discussion on this.
Okay.
Yeah, that, excuse me, that question had come up before, and then the last committee meeting I went to a couple weeks ago, they don't break it down once they start processing the tickets. In other words, they keep stats on what tickets we write for what violations, and then all the way down to which officer wrote tickets for the month. But once it goes into their processing, they're not separated out. It just goes in a pile, so to speak. And they just go through them, and they'll have a batch that the committee agrees on at a $100 fine, and they move on to the next batch. And even during the hearings, you don't know unless you see the original violation if that's a CSD ticket or RMA ticket. Once, as far as disposition goes, they don't keep stats on that. They don't keep stats on what happens to our tickets or if we got fines or we got, they were dismissed or put in abeyance. Excuse me, they don't have that.
I don't even think they publish that information.
They do not.
They don't.
They don't keep it.
No, no, I meant fines collected, et cetera, fines levied.
Oh.
As a statistic.
Yeah. No.
Well, one place you can find that, and they just went through that. I didn't go to it or see it, but they just did their budget process. I'd be interested in knowing what the increase in revenue for the coming year shows in terms of fines versus last year.
Well, I'm
still kind of, you know, I people have mentioned that it's doing good, and I'm sure it is, but you know, I'm just wondering where this becomes a profit center.
Well, and you know, that's my point. You know, continuing the efforts, especially in the Joint Security Committee meetings, to make sure that the enforcement actions are having some positive effect to the community, not necessarily a revenue generator. It's something that we can discuss in the Joint Security Committee meetings later on, just to make sure that we are seeing some positive effects of the efforts that are being focused.
Yeah, so, it would be interesting for you, Mark, too, in that document that they'll publish. In terms of security and compliance, what changes, you know, are inherent in that new document? Because I thought it was unfortunate just that we're in this period where we're having all these discussions about, you know, role responsibilities and all that stuff. Well, now they've essentially set a budget for next year. So if there was to be some organizational or structural change, I don't know where the money would come from to support it. So. I mean, I don't know if that budget's in final form yet, but I know they just had the meeting.
Okay. Just watch for it in the Joint Security Committee meetings.
Yeah, I think that's the right form.
Bring it up and, okay.
And then, you know, figure out what you want to do with the data, right?
Mm-hmm.
How does it inform?
Yep.
Okay, 7D, utilities report.
Utilities report. I just had a question, Paul, on the water treatment. The last sentence of the first paragraph, approximately 585 gallons per day per water connection, and that is the treatment side of it. In the financing and in the finance section and also in the staff report for field operations, a figure of 481 per residential dwelling unit was provided. And just so to clear things up, this is based on treatment production, and that there are some system losses and slightly different calculations. And so, you know, just making sure that everyone understands that discrepancy.
Correct. You're absolutely correct. And a slight difference as well is the administration billing is typically from about the 25th to the 25th. Of each month, whereas we're calendar month as far as production.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it slightly skews the numbers one way or the other, and that's just the way it is. And again, it's predominantly the major difference is distribution losses and things like that.
Does anybody know how this number compares with the EDU allocation? The 750 that the master plan talks about.
What do you mean?
Well, this is per connection, and not all connections are one EDU.
Yeah.
So I'm asking you again, what's the right number for EDU allocation, which is what the master plan is all about?
750.
I know it's 750.
So that's the right number.
I don't know if it's the right number.
So what this is conveying is per this month, with this demand month. And this weather scenario, that's what the production per connection would be. I can't really comment on what's an appropriate number because our previous plans that have, you know, utilized outside consultants and have looked at it in various ways have stuck with that as a planning number.
Yeah, but both processed water as well as wastewater, you need to make sure that the numbers being used in our master plans are real.
Absolutely.
Arbitrarily selected and a very conservative number, 20% above what the hell it was, et cetera, because you can overdo things.
And I think, you know, it's not that these numbers are reported in the staff report and then lost.
No, he's got them.
The department has them. And so anytime that we do an additional study update, they can be used to look back as long as they're understood of what their derivation is, whether they're at the meter or at the treatment plant. Okay.
Anything
long-term
else?
Long-term daily tracking. So.
Yeah. Anything else in 7D?
No.
Okay. 7's done. Item 8, conference education opportunities. Anyone? Okay. 9 is just the list of district meeting dates and times for December.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, with the regular board meeting on the 19th, that'll be the new board coming in?
Correct. And as far as the committee meetings, I would expect the improvements in finance committees. We have a draft audit potentially to bring forward. So those are the two I would expect that we'll be holding for sure.
I think with security and as far as the communications go, Jeff, it's, in my opinion, less too, is kind of let the new board come in and start grinding towards January with your next joint security meeting. So, okay. All right, item 10, comments from the public. Comments, welcome to come forward. 3 minutes. And share their items that they'd like to present to the board. No action will be taken, but we will listen to what you have to say. Go ahead,
Mike. Questions. I never saw any minutes.
Wait,
on
sorry, real
Mike
quick.
Mike Bartel, 424.
Thank you.
I never saw any minutes or any details on the November 1st or November 7th special security meeting, but it looks like it's attached to item 14, the general manager's contract.
So there wasn't a security meeting on the 1st and the 7th. It was
a special meeting on the general manager's contract.
Yes, I heard you say security.
Well, that's a second question. Okay. I haven't seen any minutes or any conversations, and when you reported, there was nothing to report.
Correct.
In the executive session.
Yep.
But I do see it matches up the agenda for item 14, the amendment, consider approval of a proposed amendment to the general manager's. So how would the public or the residents?
Yeah, we're going to hand that out when we get to 14 for sure.
Okay, so there'll be time for conversations there.
Sure.
Yes.
And the last question for the security thing. It was my understanding that the RMA in executive session voted to enforce the speeding by 1 mile an hour over the proposed 25 miles, and they informed you, Jeff. Maybe I got that wrong, but that conversation is running very, very loud in the community, that they took an executive motion to do police enforcement, and then they notify you through Mr. Corder or somebody else.
So let me understand if I'm understanding it correctly. Hang on.
Okay.
You have information from an executive session of the Homeowners Association?
They're saying an executive session. And
who's they?
Folks.
Okay. So this is hearsay. Go ahead.
Hearsay. But it hasn't been denied.
Okay.
An executive session. Five of the seven members are present. And they voted on an action to influence the security chief to start giving tickets to residents 1 mile over the 25-mile speed limit. That may be untrue, but I'm curious if that's actual, if that was ever approached to you, or did you ever hear anything about
it? I think what the right thing to do on this one is to see, go back to them, because I don't want to get into hearsay discussions about what was done in an executive session.
I can only tell, speak to what I know.
Yeah.
That's not hearsay, but as far as anything else, I don't know.
Okay. So how about this?
So that's untrue. If he says it's untrue, it's untrue.
Well, I'm not going to say it's not true because I don't know what happened at their meeting. I only know what I've been told or not, but when did this meeting take place? That I don't know.
I think about the meeting before last, and I think they're going to address that issue, or there's going to be somebody's going to address up how the conversation. And if I'm wrong, I'm going to go to our main meeting and say, hey, I got bad information, but to be honest with you, the way I've heard it, it sounds like it's pretty accurate to me.
Okay.
Well, I'm not so, sure though. I'm not sure that I'm a little rusty on my Davis Sterling, but but I'm not sure they can even do that in executive session.
I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you. That's why.
They're not Brown Act, but they're Davis Sterling, and the limitations of executive session are pretty close to what ours are.
So that's why I wanted to ask Jeff. Because all of a sudden, enforcement changed drastically of what was allowed and what wasn't allowed. I've heard all the data, and the speed being cited is absolutely a lot lower in the last 2 months than it has been in the last 5 years.
That's incorrect.
Huh?
That's incorrect.
Well, I'll bring some examples next time, Jeff.
Okay. So let me clear up a couple things so we can work this. Speed limit is 25 inside Rancho Marietta Gates, correct?
Correct.
Right. And the last time I saw there was a posted speed limit on the cart paths at 10?
Correct.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And the back leg areas are all 10.
Ten. All right. So those are the speed limits that I know of. So let's get that. Next thing is that I know that you're going to be obviously, according to Mark's staff report, talking with RMA about, speed and security amongst other things. So whatever we hear tonight, I'm sure it'll come up in those discussions, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
When you believe, okay. The only other thing, Mike, is I'm just trying to understand, the statement about the 1 mile an hour. Is there a position on that you have in particular, or just curious about how it came to be?
Well, like John says, if that discussion took place and they voted in an executive session.
I see what you're saying. That's your concern.
And if they're not dictating the security
10-4.
Policy,
understood.
That needs to be out in the open.
Gotcha. Okay, I was just trying to see where you're coming from.
Remember at the security meeting over there, there was a discussion of CSD has one limit, compliance has another limit, so they were encouraged to set a limit that was consistent for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what brought about the discussion. Now, whether or not it was done in closed session and 1 mile makes any sense at all, that's another animal.
I'm not even sure. Do they have a compliance officer now?
They just hired one. He started
Because we've been, any tickets that have been coming out are ours because they haven't got anybody to write any. So.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, you'll
thank you.
I'll find any of ours at 1 mile an
thank
hour.
Thank you.
Over.
All right.
Very well. Correspondence 11. We have an email from Marco who had a suggestion about speed, oddly enough, and interesting point of view, which is positive.
Sure. And it's a lot about, if anyone knows Texas, they have a lot of cute signs along their highways.
Yes.
Drive friendly, and then this was a recommendation off of a sign that stated Texans don't litter, mm-hmm. basically. So it was a recommendation to put some Rancho Marietta signs up that about the pride of Rancho Marietta, and to encourage people to adhere to the rules.
Yeah,
given the problem we have on Jackson Highway, etc., it wouldn't be a bad idea to forward that to Frost and the people in Sacramento. Maybe they can get creative enough to start putting up some signs.
Certainly.
We tried 45 miles an hour, Jerry.
Yeah. Yeah. Certainly.
Watch out for armadillos.
Certainly.
Rattlesnakes.
Certainly to share it with RMA.
Yeah.
All right. That was my comment. Is if we're not sure that correspondence did not go to RMA, then we probably ought to share it as well. We have the issue of inside the gates versus outside the gates, and signage and things like that should be discussed with
RMA. Interesting to note, this went to Martel. Didn't go to RMA, it went to Martel.
So, interesting thing about this one is, however you guys navigate your action plan or whatever you want to do that, I think this is just one element of many. I mean, there's social media comments out there on mom's pages and Facebook.coms and others that have varying opinions of great ideas. And so then we have people that came here and spoke and said, I'd really like to help. So hopefully you do reach down the bench and have people that really are enthusiastic about helping help. if they are so willing to do so. In the right context, of course.
Could you ask at that joint security meeting, the next one, in light of their budget process, is that additional revenue now they're collecting from all these tickets, is that general fund money, or is that being spent directly in security and compliance?
Secure the hazard against?
I think I already know the answer, but I'd like them to answer it.
Same as the state.
Yeah. But, you know, if I don't know what the total impact of the revenue is, but if your ticket writing has gone up 1,000%, that's revenue, and I'd just be curious if that's being redirected back into enhancing security in the community, or are we just going to get another bus for the Dodger game, you know, whatever.
Okay. All right. Thank you, correspondents. Item 12, approval proposal from Telstar Instruments for wastewater reclamation plant filter programmable logic control PLC replacement CRP.
Yes, so this capital replacement plan has finally moved forward with putting out a bid packet and receiving bids. Those bids coming from Telstar Instruments, as shown in the table in the packet there, for $99,421,000. As the board typically has requested, we add a 15% contingency on that to cover any unforeseen costs, and therefore we are requesting $114,333 for approval at this point.
Including a 15% contingency?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Before we discussion, I'll make a motion.
Sure.
All right. This came before improvements committee, and it was carefully reviewed. The qualifications for the contractor were reviewed and found adequate. So I would move to approve proposal from Telstar Instruments for the wastewater reclamation plant filter PLC replacement in an amount not to exceed $114,333, which includes a 15% contingency, funding to come from sewer replacement reserves, and the capital replacement project is identified as 13-02-2.
Second. Okay, moved and seconded. Any further discussion?
Yeah, I'd just like to commend staff about listing the estimated price tag that was in the CRP. I appreciate that. It gives us a good baseline. And just an add a question along with that, is this the estimated price as of 2013? Have we added any inflation factors to these CRPs? And
we have not, no. Yep. We typically haven't in
okay.
the past.
So it's something we want to look at in the future. That's the only question I had, or comment I had.
So this is a planned replacement of an existing mm-hmm. filter?
Existing programmable logic controller, which is basically a computer system.
Right. So something I'd like to add going forward and as we proceed through our next improvements committee and from then on, what you're going to see in the staff reports is not only the cost of the project, the CIP or CRP number. Mm-hmm. We're also going to have in our staff reports in the same line item what the level of the reserves are, the actual reserve amounts.
Perfect.
As part of this description of the project.
Right.
So that you're aware when you're making this decision that this is how much we have in that particular right. reserve.
And then if we could clarify that the origin of the CRP or CIP cost and whether or not it has been advanced through with inflationary factors. That's great.
Okay, cool. So we've had a move and second. Let's do a roll call vote.
President Pinkerton?
Yes.
Director Graff?
Yes.
Director Clark?
Yes.
Director Merchant?
Yes.
Director Passett?
Yes.
Okay, item 13. Consider approval of proposal from EDCO Enterprises, Inc. for a clean out of Cantova Sewer Lift Station.
So this item before you is part of the capital replacement plan for the Cantova Sewer Lift Station pump replacements. So as part of the work needed, you have to clean out the pump station so that the work can occur in there. And then when the bypass system goes back into operation, the manholes upstream need to be vectored to be able to control the flow so that the plugs that were put in for the bypass can then be pulled back out. And so this cost is a estimated number of, hopefully an amount not to exceed, as it relates to work needed for the project. And as requested by the Improvements Committee with projects that we totalize the project costs so far as they move forward.
Is this the time and materials cost?
Yes. Yes.
So you'll be out there cracking the whip if they try to overdo it?
Or my staff will, yes.
So I move we approve proposal from EDCO Enterprises, Inc. for the cleaning and pumping out of Cantove Lift Station in an amount not to exceed $6,000. Funding to come from Water Capital Improvement Reserves as part of Capital Improvement Project Number 18-02-2.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All right, roll call vote.
President Pekicic?
Yes.
Director Kraft?
Yes.
Director Clark?
Yes.
Director Merchant?
Yes.
Director Passick?
Yes.
Okay, 14. Consider approval of proposed amendment to general manager employment agreement. All right, so I'll read this to you. The approve the proposed, this is the recommended action. Approve the proposed first amendment to the employment agreement for the general manager and the board to authorize the board president to sign the amendment on behalf of the district. So what I'm going to have to do is have Suzanne hand out a packet of information to bring everybody current, since this wasn't part of the, it was agendized, but we need to hand it out obviously to those in attendance and get it out publicly as part of the closure of this board meeting. And I'll read to you as she's handing that out the background. In the November board meeting, the board of directors, including board president Pekicic, met in the closed session and provided a draft amendment number one of the employee agreement for the general manager prepared by a subcommittee of the board of directors composed of directors Merchant and Clark, who were authorized by the board to enter into negotiations with the general manager. Consistent with that direction, the board president and general manager have reached agreement on the terms of the amendment, all subject to approval by the board, and I'll add tonight. The proposed amendment is attached. The key provisions of the amendment are as follows. The general manager's annual salary is to be increased by $6,600 to $171,600, retroactive to September 30th, 2018, at such time certain objectives and tasks as outlined in the amendment number one have been presented to the directors at a board meeting with certain tasks completed, including the preparation of certain plans and confirmation that he has initiated implementation of those plans. And those plans in the amendment, you'll see them identified in item 2A, B, C, and D, if you're looking at the amendment. Provided these terms are acceptable to the board, it is recommended that the board approve the amendment to the general manager's employment agreement in the form presented, and that the board authorize the board president to sign the amendment on behalf of the district. Okay. So, I will add that during the evaluation process, we considered input from a variety of sources, including the staff 360 evaluations that are identified in the GM's agreement, to identify the key areas the GM focused for the next year, and that's contained in amendment number one. So part of what we have here in this amendment is identifying the key areas that were, we came to agreement as a board and looking at the evaluation of this next year. Mm-hmm. So within this packet, you'll see a statement that's been prepared, a public statement with regard to what's contained in the next year of this agreement. I'll go ahead and read that. On behalf of the Rancho Murrieta Community Services District Board of Directors, we would like to thank Mark Martin for his 1 year of service to the district that amounted to many long work days and busy weekends. Learning the RMCSD general manager's job is a very challenging one, as we've discovered watching Mark this past year come up to speed on daily operations, district code, mirrored single-purpose agreements, statewide policy regulations, forthcoming negotiations, and staff functions. Unlike other districts, Rancho Murrieta is unique in that RMCSD has core duties like water, wastewater, drainage, and solid waste, but we have this additional very complex element, security. As a top community amenity and a key RMCSD service function, security demands attention at all times and is challenged by staff turnover, high customer expectations, and the need of responding to a growing community. We can ensure that our general manager spends the overwhelming majority of his time working security-related topics as well as human resource concerns. We are now supporting a $6.5 million annual business operation managing a $56 million in power plant, property, and assets with a small staff of 38 employees. Any normal business would be hard-pressed to do the job of a business this size with such a small team. In the past, under prior general managers and boards, it could be viewed in retrospect that the district has not put the right operational structure and financial funding mechanisms in place to support the district's long-term needs, such as adequate staffing and appropriately saving for reserves to fund replacement of aging infrastructure. Another challenge with our past is continuing to live in an old operational model established by two decades of nearly the same leadership. Change is both rewarding and more often than not very challenging when you are experiencing it. Setting expectations as staff and navigating the that's the way we've always done things operational models while attempting to evolve can stress any organization. We know and respect that some staff will choose to stay employed with the district in this time of evolutionary change and some may not, and know that we are indeed moving our community's future forward under Mark's leadership. The hiring of a new director of administration, and I'll pause, there's a news release in this about the new district of director of administration is necessary to help attend to our human resource and operational governance demands while affording Mark the time to support RMCSD's annual goals, community development, relationships with local, regional, and statewide stakeholders, and the overall strategic direction of the district. We now have a permanent security chief in place to work security-related needs and provide direction based on the outcomes of the security study and resurrection of the joint security meetings and those initiatives. Growth has arrived and it is needed. Our community is not finished. And if we want to achieve a favorable outcome for our community and the developers, we need to continue to work together with all local entities in Sacramento County to accomplish our combined success. The RMCSD has a primary goal in considering that all interests of the community and developers are addressed, and it has been challenging for Mark to focus on these needs while supporting DOA functions, security concerns, and still learn the job. The 2019 General Manager contract for Mark recognizes the needs of the RMCSD and our community over the next year. It focuses on his responsibility and incentive in planning and meeting those needs accordingly. He has learned a lot in his first year, and there's always learned to in navigating and negotiating in the district's best interests. We appreciate the community's support of RMCSD, and we look forward to Mark's continued leadership and focus in providing quality services for our community and residents. So there you have it. Everybody can read it as well. And the amendment as well. Comments from the directors before I ask for public comment, because I think Mike wanted to say something.
He answered the question.
Did you? Yeah. Did I? Did we? Better yet. Okay.
No, I'd just like to add, you know, my wholehearted support for this memo and the actions that the board has taken. And just like to reference back some of the comments in general about the water supply situation. That requires significant regional and state involvement, understanding and involvement. And we are at risk. And so those are the types of things that we need to make sure our general manager can focus on. Just as a sub-note.
Yeah.
I'd like to add to that just a couple of things. Some of the things Les alluded to going down the road, the 2020 water rights, 2020 compliance, reorganization and restructuring of security and its relationship to the customers, particularly the RMA. And the list kind of goes on and on. And when you look at how, I mean, we're asking one individual essentially to do two jobs. Number one is manage the day-to-day operation of a $6.5 million, $56 million asset company, and at the same time, take care of the bigger picture issues. And oh, by the way, after about a 10-year hiatus, we are into a significantly increasing period of development. Much more interaction with the developer, lots of plans, lots of county interaction that's going to go on over the next couple of years. So basically, I think the way all of this came out was after discussions we had as a board as who the hell is going to do all this stuff. So, like Les, I really support you, Mark, and I support everything that the board itself has done. And a couple of these guys are going to be leaving with us, and I think they've done a really tremendous job on some of this.
Let me comment a little bit. There's a couple of us here, a few of us here, that have significant corporate experience that went through similar issues of how do you write things that haven't been going too well and what are the issues and making sure we understand what the issues were based on what some of the staff has said and what we've observed, et cetera, et cetera. So as you note, we went three closed sessions where we discussed all this and put together the amendments, and I we tried to make it such that there were some incentive to get the job done right. Not just day-to-day stuff, but some financial incentive to get the job right, and that's how we came up with specific objectives that Mark had to try and achieve before his increase would come through.
Anything left? I mean more?
Yep.
Okay. So I'm going to look for a motion to approve the proposed First Amendment to the employment agreement for the general manager and the board to authorize the board president to sign the amendment on behalf of the district.
I move we do that.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Okay. Roll call vote.
President Beckett?
Yes.
Director Graff?
Yes.
Director Clark?
Yes.
Director Merchant?
Yes.
Director Patrick?
Yes.
Okay. Item 15, director comments and suggestions. We'll start with Paul Sleeton.
So one, if we can make a quick amendment to the approval for the EDCO work. Eric pointed out we listed it as a CIP. It's actually capital replacement plan. Is it, I don't know, hopefully it's not
yeah,
too late.
Yeah, capital replacement reserves versus improvement reserves.
Yeah. So,
and that's my fault. I should have read it beforehand.
Appreciate that.
So
do we need to amend it or?
Do the mover and the seconder of that motion concur with that change? And I'm seeing nodding heads, so I think the staff can just make that change when they do the minutes.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
This can be discussed. Yes.
And then two, the Cantover sewer plant or sewer pumping station project is going to be proceeding on December 3rd. We've contacted the local residents that are going to be impacted. Going to be doing notifications to the others in the area, and we've already done a construction notification for our website. So just a heads up on that.
And I understand from your staff report, while I didn't bring it up, that there was an additional maintenance required for some rope that had gotten into the system. And so, you know, if there's any future action educating the people who are being served by that line, to try to keep that kind of thing out of the, because it costs the district significant amounts of money to get it fixed.
Yes, so. Absolutely.
Okay.
No more comments.
Cool. I am still working with the auditor, and we are in the final back and forth review stage. I'm expecting, he actually emailed me today in response, and he says, I'm going to review your review basically this week. And I was like, oh man, over the holiday weekend, but you know, I guess when you own your own business, every day is a weekday. So we will have that to present at the December board meeting. No issues there. I'm not expecting any surprises. We work together very well. So, and then with regard to Jerry's questions at the last finance committee, I did go ahead and run the amortization on the inter-fund loans. The only one that has a set repay amount is the loan to security from drainage for the North Gate construction. And that one will be repaid in April of 2020. As far as the water treatment plant borrowing, that is being repaid through the $6 a month debt service fee that is on everyone's bills. So that one does fluctuate depending on how many connections we have. I used the existing connection numbers and then blew that out. The $1.5 million loan from water to sewer, assuming the current repayment amount, will be repaid in August of 2026. And the $500,000 loan from water augmentation will be repaid in December of 2031.
I thought when Darlene set it up, it was a planned 10-year amortization of the whole thing.
I don't believe so.
And then it was just allocated so that it, with new residences coming on, it just got it a little bit earlier. But, you know, given the existing residents, it was 10 years, so.
Well, and actually, the additional connections that were projected at that point in time have fallen far short of what was planned.
Right. I thought it was the existing connections, not the planned connections, whatever.
Correct. New connections don't get them. Any new development doesn't get them.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
The $6 they don't get, right?
Right.
They don't get charged.
Because that was part of the payoff from the developer in the first place.
Right. Right. They've already contributed.
So you might want to just look at the one that you think is going out to 2031 and see if that might be an error.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll have to go back to the original document. I know that we have the $6 a month.
Yeah, that's true.
The numbers basically are what they are. I'll go back to the original document.
Go back and see if you can figure out how it got to $6. That might tell you.
Yeah. Okay. Can do. That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you. Chief.
You're up, buddy.
Security has three new employees starting two this next week and then a third first week of December. So that brings our staffing up to full at the gates, and we're still down one in patrol. Even though we have a new patrol officer as one of those three. I'm sorry, two at the gate, one on patrol. And then we still have one vacant to fill behind the sergeant promotion. But we're getting there. Mm-hmm. A lot better than what it was. So we should be able to staff ourselves without using contract employees at the gate anymore.
Okay, good.
That's all I have.
Cool. Just one more quick visit to the speeding issue. One of the things that was frustrating was this thing rolled out, I think, without a lot of, for lack of a better word, marketing to the community on what the program was, what it was supposed to accomplish. And like Mike brings up, I think, you know, there's now we got confusion about whether it's 26 or 30 or whatever the number is. Is there a way to reset, maybe that you guys could talk about at the security meeting and at least publish to this point what has happened and why it's happening and what the real rules are and what the interface is? Can you really be caught by an RMA guy at 26, and can you really be caught by a CSD guy at 30? Or maybe we could just put some of this away.
We can work on that. Let me be clear, and we met with RMA, when was that, August?
Mm-hmm. The management level meeting was just prior to the public coming to their meetings and speaking out about it. It was
correct, and
coincidental.
This is before the whole security speeding issue really became a major issue. And it was just to get together and meet and, you know, make sure that we're on the same page. We had come to an agreement at that point as to exactly how that was to be enforced. And our officers have been maintaining that agreement since that time.
Which is what?
We're not going to
disclose
what the stated
interest.
The speed limit
safety
is 25 miles per hour on the roadways and 10 on the golf carts and in the rear.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
But just to be clear, that we have been adhering to that agreement since that day. Perfect. And so if there's a choice by RMA to enforce otherwise, that's their choice.
But, you know,
we have encouraged them to maintain the same policy as we have implemented.
I mean, as Mike and I go home, we go down a hill. And, you know, I'd really like, I'm willing to play ball with anything. I just really want to know what the rules are. Okay?
25.
The rule's 25, yeah. Okay? But, you know, so if that really is the case, then publish the rules. Say, if you're doing 25.2, you're going to get a ticket.
No, the speed limit's 25. Everybody, if you have a driver's license, you know that the speed limit's 25.
Right.
Anything over, you're subject to a ticket. And what people, and we have said this publicly, and I've said it publicly, the compliance committee understands it. As a matter of fact, I argued with a lawyer at the last compliance hearing who was trying to get out of his ticket for your very argument, and he was citing the vehicle code, and I told him he was wrong because he was. The safe speed is 25. Just because we may not write you a ticket because you're not till you're doing 31 or 32, it doesn't matter. And in a certain circumstances, certain roadways, road conditions, whether it be traffic, garbage cans, it's raining, the safe speed may be 25, it may be 20, okay? You can still get a speeding ticket for doing below the posted if the circumstances warrant that the safe speed is slower. Everybody that has their driver's license, learn that.
Okay, but.
So, just because it's private property, RMA speed limit rules are 25. Are there allowances for differences in speedometers and traffic? Maybe. That's also out in the real world. We're not going to tell people what the safe speed is so you don't get a ticket, because then we're going to have everybody pushing that.
Okay, but that's fine. So if that's the rules of the game, you know, it's the infield fly rule, okay? then put that in the paper. I'm fine with it, you know. But I just really think we ought to clarify once and for all. I understand about the driver's license thing, but we've been here 30 years, okay? For 29.7 of those years, none of this was a problem or existed, whatever you want to call it, and now it does. So if we have had this dramatic shift, I think it's only fair to say we've had this dramatic shift, and we'll say it once. Here's what the rules are. Yeah, everybody has a driver's license, but I think it's rather unique that we operate inside this self-contained environment that's different in any other neighborhood in any other town in the world.
I think there's been so much publicity in the media over the last few months that I think everybody's figured it out. That enforcement is up, and you can speed, but you just take your chance. You get away with it 99% of the time, and one time you might get caught. That's your choice as a driver. But I think the word's out there. Certainly, I know I hear about it. I've gotten emails. I hear about it at the committees. The comment earlier, 1 mile an hour over, as Mr. Martin said, no CSD employee is responsible for those violations.
Okay, real quick, because we're past public comment, so.
I'll wait till the meeting's over. Oh, real quick. But I think,
Special dispensation.
I hear what you're saying, but I think it's going to come out. There was a conversation. But when you have security hiding behind underneath a hill and in a golf cart and underneath a tree, I'll give you the example. When you come in the gate, when you're coming into the community, it's three lanes goes into one lane. One's got to slow up, one's got to speed up just the traffic. And there's a guy with a radar that's tied under the tree across. There's no kids, no animals, no houses. There's no security issue. It's I got you. And that's what's being said. Jeff, you guys and your guys are getting us, and you don't like us, and you're enforcing the rule to the letter law. So I've asked everybody, when you see the CSD security vehicle going over 25 miles an hour, take a picture of it. Take a picture of it. But there needs to be consistency, and it's about security and protection for us. But it seems like it's I got you. You're out to get us.
Okay.
And we're not over speed.
John, anything
else? One more quick thing on reserves and on the $6 payment.
Yeah.
And this has kind of been a gray area that I really want to clarify as part of this whole analysis. We're at the same time we're accumulating the payback money from the $6. We're also getting older and older. We have a relatively new water plant, but every day it gets older and older. And I want to see what the parallel to the payback and the reserving for the future looks like on that particular item, and then maybe start to expand that in some other places. Because I went back through the report again, and we're under reserved. We are under reserved. Period.
There was a as part of that reserve for the water plant, there is a reserve being accumulated, I assume, since we asked for it, to get filter replacement in 10 years. And that was $1 million that are in addition to anything else that's
right.
going on.
But there's also another $13 million in the inherent value of it.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Well, as one of the three directors that are not going to be at the next meeting, I did want to...
You're here for your resolution.
Yeah. I just wanted to say how much I've appreciated working with the gentleman. And I felt we've worked together. We have different backgrounds, but we did work together with a common goal. And certainly Mark is a part of that common goal and what we see as the future for the district. So I certainly appreciate our teamwork and ability to work together.
And just as a follow-up on John's comment about the Joint Security Committee meetings, I was hoping to make sure that those Joint Security Committee meetings did not devolve into the minutia and stayed at a policy level issue and staff direction. And let staff jointly pursue the solutions that are recommended. And so I'd rather keep the Joint Security Committee meetings at that level rather than having them devolve into the minutia.
Okay, I'm going to go back to Jerry.
Yeah, I'd just like to state that, in 10 out of the last 12 years, I have been a member of this board, and I thoroughly understand what's happening or has happened or has not happened, as the case may be. And I strongly recommend that a grand tour be presented to the new board members so that they get a firm understanding of where things are and how it works. Because if they don't, they'll be asked to judge a lot of things that they don't have a clue on. There's a lot of intertwining with RMCC, RMA, and the plants themselves, and who owns what and who's responsible for what and what maintenance goes on. It's not a trivial item. But I thank everyone for kind of tolerating my comments over the last 10 years.
All right. Well, everyone, it's been a pleasure.
All right.
Thank you all for a rewarding experience. And I'll tell you, it was definitely interesting right up to the very end, wasn't it? So I went and I took a couple minutes to kind of look back at everything, like in 4 years. So if you think about it, when we first started this journey, we were negotiating the North Gate. Remember that one, everybody? That was a good time.
Four years ago.
Yeah, 4 years ago, right? And then like in 2015, we cut the ribbon on the North Gate. And like you think about like, holy cow, that was in my time being here. Well, that wasn't it. We finished a water treatment plant. We put solar in for water and wastewater treatment plants. We built a hotel and some new homes, which was great. We had 3 general managers, nearly 4, in which the time I was here, which is crazy. We killed some fish, and then we put them back in the lake. That was important.
It's a resurrection.
Yeah, which was great. But we owned it, and we fixed it. Parks Committee sent a trail plan to the county, We built the Greens Park that took over a decade to get done. We took a shot at a package to support the purchase and renovations at the club and preserve some of the privately owned, undeveloped land in our community. That's politically correct. You can say that. And we kept working on collaboration with RMA, addressing security and speed concerns in the community and, looking forward to the joint security stuff coming in 2019. But, in 4 years, that's a heck of a lot, you guys, when you think about it. I can remember at times when Paul was just slammed, dealing with change orders and everything else that was coming at him and trying to basically project manage a water treatment plant and do his regular job. So that was amazing.
Let me comment a little bit on the, just prior to your arrival, we had to negotiate the FSA, financing services agreement for the water plant and figure out what the water plant's going to look like. Because we had lots of arguments as to is it an expandable water plant and if so expandable to what and what does it do? And we had lots of arguments, particularly with the head honcho, with the developer, as to why they need to pay for this base expandable water plant and equally shared third, third, and third, and that was accomplished.
Yeah. So if you close your eyes and you blink, all of a sudden 4 years is over. But I leave with the following advice, which is look forward and avoid living in the past. You know, I would suggest to you that the past is a good place for information and guidance, but your future is ahead of you, so keep facing forward and keep moving on. That's it.
Now, I just want to say thank you to the board members who will be leaving. Thank you for your support over this time, the support of our staff, of the mission here. I think a lot of good work's been accomplished. One other thing that I'd like to bring up, just regarding, this is public service announcement on our website, is the we've added to our homepage of our website. This is, you know, not partially because of the fires up north, but there's a number of links that are on our main page right now. We always have a rotation of the creating a defensible space, the evacuation map. We have Code Red, which is the localized emergency alert system, mostly for if there's an upset of our, you know, maybe chlorine gas or something like that related to our services we provide. And then there's the reverse 911, the Sac County, and that's very important that people sign up for that. Because if OES, County OES, does initiate an evacuation, it'll the reverse 911 would probably be the best way for residents to be alerted right off the bat. So I just want to draw attention to that. So, that's it.
Cool. All I've got, it's been a pleasure working with you, Mark, Jerry, and Maury, and enjoyed working with you. Best of luck.
Thank you for the Brown Act training.
You're very welcome.
Oh, okay.
Suzanne?
I'll save my comments at the next meeting.
She's going to wait until we're done. Finally,
she's
say comments.
She's too busy preparing resolutions.
All right.
That's right.
All right. So 16, adjournment. I need a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Moving second. All in favor?
Aye.
There it is.
Everybody needs to leave their laptops?
Yes.